My name is John McCann. I'm from Miramichi. I came here with my lovely wife, Daphne, and for many months I've been struggling in my walk with God. There's been things holding me back from you know, increasing my relationship with Him, and I've been praying for Him to show me through His Spirit what I needed. And my wife and I had been away on a vacation, and we got back, and the first Sunday that we were back in our church, I looked on the bulletin board, and there was this Set Free retreat, and I read about what it was about, and I said, that's what I need. I need to be set free from things that I still have in my life, the hurts and the lies of the devil and the unforgiveness in my heart. I needed to be set free from those things, and God put it on my heart. You have to go to that retreat. And I just looked at it and I said to Daphne, we're going to this retreat. It could have been, you know, it could have been anywhere. I was going to this retreat because I knew I had to go to this retreat. And let me tell you, God has answered my prayers. I am set free. I'm set free. Just a little bit of the review. I'm at the end of the last session is calling on the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and speak to us. And I just want to read to you what I wrote down after that session. And I said, God has been working on me for a while now to get me past the unforgiveness I have in my heart that has kept me from a closer relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come fill me and lead me to all that God wants me to be through His Son, Jesus Christ. Guide me, Holy Spirit, through the healing You started in me this weekend. And I am going home with that prayer and with that thought, and I'm going to continue to work, and if I need to, I'm going to come back and get refreshed again and go at it again, because I experienced this weekend what you can have when you allow God to hold you like a child and fill you with His love. And once you have that, there's no going back.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you feel the energy in here this morning? Can you? I sure can. And I've never felt energy like that before. Yesterday was my third Set Free retreat. And when we have another one, I'm going. I thought I'd already get rid of all my baggage, and I found more to dump out yesterday. And when you dump that baggage out, it just leaves this great big hollow spot, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills that right up. That's where the energy's coming from this morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
There you go, Irene.
I had never been to Set Free retreat. I missed it all along the way. I didn't think twice would be taking part, because I knew that he had gone to Steinbach, Manitoba, and found out and took part in that one. And I didn't think he'd be taking part in this one. I thought, oh, he'll just back off and this time, and he'll just go do his sermon for Sunday or whatever. Well, all the king's horses and all the king's men would not have kept him away. He was just so wound. Oh, we just had a fabulous time. It was beautiful. As I say, it was my first time, and it was wonderful. I have a small piece of paper here because, not because I'm old, but I'm not young either. And I like comparisons. And when you go to a new doctor or a specialist, they give you a clipboard with a list of things on it that you have to fill out. And when I check off all those different things, ailments and so on, I just think, oh my goodness, am I ever glad I don't have diabetes, heart trouble, you know, all these different things, cancer, all these things. I'm so thankful. But the ones that I do have to check off, I know I have to work on. It's really important that I deal with them. So we came to the retreat, and we didn't have a clipboard. They didn't give us one, but we had paper to fill out. And when you check off these spiritual items, that things that you have on that list, either through neglect or habit, and they're revealed to you that they shouldn't be in your life. And I don't care who it is, we all have things that we should deal with. And it is so important, and there are consequences if we don't. And I just found that it was so, God said, the truth will set you free. And when you face these things that are in your life, whether it's anger, unforgiveness, whatever it is, it's just so, so good. It just, the Lord said, the truth will make you free, and it does make you free indeed. And I thank Swice for having this, and I thank all of you who participated. We just had a really good time. We laughed a lot. We cried a lot. Weiss was crying already this morning.
Not even done yet.
Yeah. So it was wonderful. Now I'll do it again if I'm here.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, you're not going to find me sitting out a set-free retreat, help organize it, and then go sit in my own room to not participate. That's not going to happen. Aleph. Yeah, sure.
Good morning. Well, this is the second time I came to retreat. I came to the very first one, and then some reason I couldn't get to the second one. Then I forgot. I was really scared. I said, does the men come with the women, or do we separate? I couldn't remember. But Papa answered my prayer. The ladies were grouped together, and the men were grouped together. But at first, it started Friday night, 6 o'clock. And at first, I didn't think I was going to get here. I was in the hospital for my IV fluid, and my PICC line decided to act up. I said, okay, Papa. I said, I need to get there. And I said, okay, devil, get behind me. You're not going to do this. I mean, I was a half an hour late, but I got here. My appointment was supposed to be only 2 hours. It was 4 hours. But I made it for the most important parts.
Yeah.
But Papa also, I prayed to Papa. I said, before I came, I said, Papa, I want my singing voice back. Because it was gone since the summer. And it was back. I've been able to sing, and it's like, I feel like I'm lifted out of my chair. But Papa was working on me a lot this weekend. And one of the main things is I've been hurt by men most of my life. And the words that are in that second category, I think it is, I couldn't even listen to them. They were so upsetting, and I can't even say them. But I was able to work out one, and I started with my grandfather when I was really little. And I got through it. So I left a nice, clean spot. Now, I did this first time, but what I found out it was an empty, clean spot. And logically in my brain, I said, why didn't it stay that way? One thing I realized, the Holy Spirit wasn't inside. It was still an empty spot. And then Pastor said that if it's an empty spot, then they come in two or three more times. I said, oh, maybe that's why I'm having my nightmares and everything. So now I have to look at things, a positive thing. I have to see it in my head. And I said, okay. And I also vowed, because of all these hurts, I will never get married again. And so we had to renounce that. That was a vow, an evil vow. So I said, okay. And then it clicked. Jesus is the bridegroom. I'm the bride. I'm married already. So the spot is not just empty. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I sleep with Papa. He holds me all the time. And I even, to keep the dreams sweet and good, I listen to my Bible, because I can't read the Bible really good, and because of my eyes. And then I go to sleep with the Bible, and it's on a timer, so it'll set out, it'll shut down. During those times, I do not have any nightmares at all. So Papa is so powerful, and his word is so powerful. I feel like I'm floating most of the time. And I really enjoyed this, and I'll be back.
There you go. Thank you, Alice. Anyone else? All right, Daphne.
Hi, my name's Daphne, and I'm from the Miramichi. I'm married to that lovely gentleman who came up first. And I just want to say, when he told us we were going to go, that was great. I had no problem with that, and I thought that'll be great. So Thursday, before the Friday event, I started feeling sick, and I felt miserable, and I thought, you know what? If I feel like this, I'm not going to go. And I think I probably said something like that to John. He went, you know, don't claim that. Don't claim that. So anyway, Friday came. I wasn't feeling much better, but I thought, okay, well, we're going to go. So off we trotted and came. And I must say, we're in a different area. Didn't know anybody. But the welcome and the love that we received when we walked in the door, it was awesome. You guys have a wonderful, loving church. And that was the beginning. So, but the other thing is, through the course, I'd recommend it for anybody, because, you know, we think, oh, you know, I've confessed to, you know, my sins, and I believe in God, and, you know, he's great to forgive us, and there's nothing. But when you look through some of the items that you will see if you take the course, you realize, wow, oh, I can relate to that. Oh, that's true. Because, you know, we think there's nothing, but sometimes there's just a little foot that the devil gets in there, and you don't even realize that it's there. And this really opens your eyes to a lot of that you don't realize you have something that the devil's got a little toe in, and before you know it, the door will be open. So it was really wonderful. We really had a wonderful time, and I just thank God, because we, as a couple, I mean, we are one, but as a couple, we're truly growing in his word and his grace.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, Daphne.
I have nothing prepared to say. I didn't know if I was going to get up or not. Friday night wasn't too bad. Saturday, felt like I had ran 4 marathons. I think I might be the only one who ever had a mild case of dehydration from crying. I should have bought stocks and Kleenex because I'd been rich for the amount that I used. I think most people here know that I was born and raised in the Anglican Church. I grew up in Newfoundland. The Anglican Church, they don't confess sins. That I, you know, not the one I, the way I grew up in it anyway, the one I grew up in. I thought confessing sins was something Roman Catholics did. So they give you this card and they tell you to check off. I think Irene already mentioned the card. So you check off the things that may or may not have been part of your life because it's personal and then it's generational. Well, one of the things that's written in there is workaholic. I grew up in Newfoundland. They had people from Alberta, the oil fields, come to Newfoundland, and they go, well, we had a couple Newfoundlanders, and they're really hard workers, so we're going to do a job fair in Newfoundland. And a ton of Newfoundlanders have went out to Alberta and since started working out there. And most Newfoundlanders will work till they pass out or the job's done. Well, I didn't realize that being a workaholic was a bad thing. I'm one of them who, you know, been in the military, and I worked so hard at one point that the base surgeon picked me up off the floor at 3 a.m. when I was trying to treat a cadet and said, I didn't realize that I'd pushed you so hard, he said, and I got sent home because I had been so exhausted because I had worked nonstop, no sleep. And yeah, I'm a workaholic. I'm guilty of that. It's something I confess, something I struggle with, because that's how I dealt with everything. I also felt a very, very strong presence of evil yesterday. The best way for me to kind of put it to words and explain it is, in my head, I have a filing cabinet. And in this filing cabinet is everything that bad that's ever happened to me. And there's been a lot. Well, that filing cabinet also is in a safe. And that safe has got bricks. And whenever the bricks start to fall or a file starts to come out, I work hard. And I work and work and work until I physically get exhausted, and that's just how I handle it. Thought I'd been handling it all along. Guess I haven't. Because the devil opened up the bricks, he opened up the safe, he opened up the filing cabinets, and he threw everything at me all at once. It was just a whirlwind. All these papers were slapping me in the face. There was bricks slapping me in the face. I was feeling hurt. I was feeling pain. So I have a very strong fight or flight response as well. I was once overseas. I was sexually assaulted. Couldn't leave the camp. How did I deal with it? I started running. And I ran and ran and ran and ran around that camp till I could not stop running anymore. And I was pounding my feet and hurting my body so bad. But if I was hurting myself, that's okay. So I slept that night because I was so exhausted there was, you know, no way to stay awake. Well, I realized that the only way I dealt with that was I worked harder. I never really dealt with it. So there is evil in our lives, too. And I went and I had the fight or flight response of, I can't do this. Swice did an example of sexual assault he started on, and it just overwhelmed me because there's been not a couple, not a few, but numerous. So I ran out to my car, going to leave, because my fight or flight is, you know, overwhelming. But I didn't. I sat there, and I looked out at the sky, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I managed to get back in the building. I tried to come sit back down, and I couldn't do it. I had to get out of the room. So I ended up in the nursery. And I sat there, and Pat Keith came in. Thank you, Pat. She brought in tissues for me, which I really needed. That's the other thing with the Kleenex amount that you're going to use. You're probably going to want a garbage can next to you. So I kept sitting there praying because all this stuff is flying at me, and it's painful. And I kept saying, God, be with me. God, please be with me right now. Please be with me right now. And then I got this overwhelming sense of I'm alone. And then Kyla walked in. God bless her. She told me that what was happening wasn't God trying to make me deal with everything at once. It was actually evil. And that's when I started to calm down, started to come around. So I would highly, highly recommend Set Free Retreat to everybody in this room and your friends, your family members. Because although it was very painful, it showed me that I haven't really dealt with anything. I haven't asked for forgiveness for anything. I just figured if I was to love everybody around me and be a good person, and I'm good. But I realize I'm not. And there's a lot of work to be done. As Weiss mentioned, you might want to find a mentor. If anybody would like to be my mentor, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Wow. So good. Thank you. So good. And this is life, right? We all pick up things. The devil, the retreat teaches this, that the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do that. He's really good at it. He does it in such a way that you don't even realize it sometimes. And he tempts us to disobey. And so in this retreat, we try to deal with that and begin to work on it. And these are the things that come out. So it's from elation to really difficult times. And John?
Thank you. You guys all know I'm John Parsons. I sat with you yesterday.
Thank you.
Yes. And you know something? You are one of the best people I have ever met in my life. I want you to know that. And trust me, you are loved by all of us. So, anyway, the Set Free Retreat, that retreat was... I want my name first on the list for the next one, as always. And I also had the pleasure of having lunch with you guys from Miramichi, and I think you guys are all great people.
Yes.
So, that's all I had.
Thank you, John. Wonderful.
It doesn't matter how many years you're at this thing, this journey into freedom, it's... There always seems to be something else. I mean, I've been 30 years working in this area, and Swice and I team teach this course, and the Lord did an amazing thing in me and for me yesterday. I have struggled with a lot of fear in my life, and just the week before, the Lord was really starting to open my eyes to what he said I had was a spirit of fear. And for me, it was associated with my boys, my three boys. And whenever anything, they're all grown now with their own families and so on, but whenever any kind of just normal life things would happen to them, I would be gripped with fear, like pain in my chest fear, like totally irrational. And last week, the Lord showed me that this spirit of fear was like an octopus, and it was attached to my back. And its tentacles came around, and it gripped my chest. So that's why when anything happened and it would, you know, tighten its grip, I would feel the pain. Well, before Set Free, one morning as I was praying, I saw Jesus come, and he kind of took one of the tentacles, and he just gently, you know, pulled it away, lopped it off, and threw it away. And I felt some relief. I felt the difference. But yesterday, when we were worshiping after the session on the cross, oh, here we go. Jesus came behind me. I saw him come behind me, and he grabbed that spirit of fear, and he ripped that thing off. And with this holy vengeance, he said, "I die to set you free." And he took that thing and he threw it. And he delivered me from the spirit of fear yesterday. And either this is the normal journey or I'm just a piece of work. But I'm a slow learner maybe. But you know what? This journey just goes on and on and on. And no matter how much freedom we taste, there's always more. There's always more, right? Don't miss out on that freedom.
Don't settle for anything less than what Jesus has in mind for you. Yeah.
All right. We're blessed, a blessed people. I've asked Bill to come up with this. Oh, Val, are you going to come say a few things? Yeah. I wasn't expecting you.
I know. Nobody's expecting me. But the Lord wanted me to just say a few things. I really didn't feel like I was supposed to be here this weekend. I've also been involved with this for 20 years, and I love helping people, but I really didn't feel I was supposed to be here. I kept telling Bernie, I was finding all kinds of excuses why I wasn't supposed to be here, and I came anyways. And even as we went through Friday night, I went home and I told him again, oh, I don't know if I'm going tomorrow. It's like, I don't think I'm really supposed to be there. And it was just an encouragement to those of you who maybe don't feel like you're particularly struggling with anything. But twice now it's happened like this to me where I really didn't want to be somewhere and God used me to help somebody else. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know. I had all the tools, but I didn't have a clue how to use them. And God showed me that that was okay. And he took my willingness and he used it. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm sure there is a multitude of other stories. I think I'm going to sit on my story for a while and try to process it before I share from it. But Bill, would you come up at this time and just pray for us as a congregation?
Then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe.
Yeah.
This high priest allows us to understand our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help where we need it most.
Yes,
I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I just forget what a privilege we have, you know, to bring all our cares and problems and fears and dreams to our Heavenly Father. He's the creator of the universe, and we have that privilege to enter his throne of grace. Jesus opened the way, of course, on the cross. And so let's approach the throne of grace with very humbly, of course, but with great confidence that we're going to have our prayers answered. So let's pray. Father, we're so blessed. We're so thankful that you sent your only Son from the glories of heaven into this sin-infested world to potentially save every human being from sin and death and hell. And all we have to do to appropriate this unspeakable gift is to believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. But unfortunately, there's so many people that don't believe, even family members and friends, that they simply don't believe. They trample the work of Christ underfoot. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us to get the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the unsaved people in our community. There's people in the valley here going on their way to hell, family members, friends, strangers. They need you so much, Heavenly Father, just like we need you. And we just pray that you'd help us with that. Father, we thank you for each ministry of Emmanuel Church. And we ask you to bless them.
We ask you to bless the leaders and protect them because they're on the front lines. They're doing spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness. And Father, I pray for the congregation, for this congregation. We're such a needy people, Heavenly Father. We need you every hour, yes, every second of the day. I pray for those going through relational and family conflicts, emotional upheavals, financial stress, and physical pain, Heavenly Father. And I'm going to pause at this moment to give God's people a chance to bring their individual and specific requests to the throne of grace. Thank you, Father, for hearing the prayers of your people. I know you do hear them and answer them. Father, forgive us our sins and help us to support each other in love as we strive every day to become more and more like Jesus, to know, grow, and show Jesus. And now we commit the rest of the service to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To God be all the honor, glory, Amen. Power, and praise. Yes. For we ask it all in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.